is a podcast of 98FM's Dublin Talks. Remember, catch the show live Monday to Friday at 10 a.m. 98FM's Dublin Talks with Adrian Kennedy.
This is something that doesn't get discussed a lot in the media, and I want to open up the phone lines to you now with a hope. Okay, here's my hope from this next conversation, that we learn something from it, that we speak to people who have been affected by it, and that we sort of break down the taboo of it. I'm speaking about panic attacks, and over the last couple of weeks, I've been reading a number of stories in the news with celebrities coming out to talk openly about suffering with panic attacks. And it's great to hear, you know, people in the public eye coming out to speak about panic attacks. The Great British Bake Off's Nadia Hussain, the woman who won the Bake Off last year, who I love on the telly, by the way, she came out there last Thursday on a TV programme to speak about her panic attacks and how they can come on at any time and how she's trying to deal with them. Only a couple of weeks previous to that, one of the singers from the Saturdays came out to speak about her panic attacks, and it seems that since these people have come out, more and more people are speaking openly about panic attacks. If you are someone who suffers regularly with panic attacks or occasionally, how does it affect your life? How does it change your life? Does it change the way you do certain things? We were talking to a fella, and this, it's amazing the calls you remember sometimes from the show. We were talking to a fella on the show about 3 years ago who suffers from occasional panic attacks, and he was saying that he often gets them in supermarkets, and he's terrified of going to supermarkets because the panic attack can just come on when he's in the middle of the aisle of the supermarket and people around him don't know how to deal with this panic attack because they don't know what's happening. Now, if you want to know how commonplace panic attacks actually are, between 8 and 10% of the population will experience occasional panic attacks. So that means 1 in 10 of you listening to the show at the moment have had one, either occasionally or maybe regularly. Panic disorders affect an estimated 150,000 people in Ireland today. This is a big issue. It's a big issue that is affecting a lot of you, and I want to hear from you about it. Joining us on the line to fill us in about this and maybe to give us a bit of a better understanding as to what panic attacks are and what a panic disorder is Dr. Greg Herbert, a clinical director from Spectrum Mental Health. You're very welcome along to 98FM, Greg.
Hi, Jeremy. Thanks for having me on.
Now, as I said in the introduction, it's something that I'm fascinated about. I suppose fascinated is the wrong word, but it's something that I want to get my head around. I want to understand it more. I have friends who do suffer with panic attacks, and they tell me about it. And they have panic attacks in the strangest of places, and they try to get me to understand what a panic attack is. So let me start by asking you, what is a panic attack?
So a panic attack is there's a clinical definition of a panic attack, and then there's kind of what people refer to as a panic attack. Ultimately, when we're talking about panic attacks, typically we're talking about a relatively brief period of very intense fear. It can sometimes be about something very specific where people kind of know what they're worried about, but an awful lot of the time it's actually more general than that. So they don't actually know why they're worried. They can't identify a kind of a specific trigger. They just have this overwhelming kind of feeling of something is very, very wrong and something needs to change right now. And the more they kind of stay in that, the bigger it gets.
Sorry for cutting across you. One of my friends says that one of the things that happens when he has a panic attack is his chest. He gets these enormous chest pains.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the kind of hallmarks of panic attacks is that you have a lot of these physical symptoms. So you get tightness in your chest, difficulty breathing. Some people will have really high heart rate. They'll get shaking, tingling, that kind of thing. It's often a very kind of physical experience, which people don't understand and they don't know what it is, which is even more terrifying. And that's part of the whole process.
What can trigger a panic attack?
Almost anything, and sometimes seemingly nothing at all. There's actually two types of panic attacks. There's what are called triggered panic attacks and untriggered panic attacks. So sometimes when you're in a triggered panic attack situation, it's something that you are very aware of being scared of, and so you'll kind of work yourself up to a point where you're breathing hard and you're actively panicking. The other kind, which can often actually be even more scary, is it's almost like it comes out of nowhere. Suddenly, everything has just kind of gotten upside down in your head. You're breathing really hard, you're sweating, you may be blushing, shaking, all those things, and you don't actually know why, which obviously is a terrifying experience.
Now, one of the things that I want to get across from this discussion today is the public reaction to panic attacks and what we should do. You know, I'm always, to be honest with you, I'm always terrified when I'm around friends of mine who suffer with panic attacks. I'm always terrified that will happen when I'm there because, to be honest with you, I wouldn't have a clue what to do. So how should people, what should people do if they see a friend or a family member having one?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first reaction that we have is we need to do something to fix this right now. We have to say something that's the kind of magic words to make them stop panicking right now, which actually can sometimes contribute to the panic attack because it's this kind of sense of, well, I don't know what's going on and I'm having the panic attack and you don't know what's going on and now you're telling me I have to stop, and that's just kind of making things worse. And so the thing that I always encourage people to do if they see someone having a panic attack or they're around someone is to show them that you are calm in this situation. Even if you don't feel calm, you can show that, all right, this is happening, and it will pass. The vast majority of panic attacks subside after 10 minutes. They hit a peak within 10 minutes.
Okay, so that's the average. That's interesting. The average amount of time for a panic attack to last is 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And they can go on to 20 or 30, but it's rare for them to ever go beyond maybe like an hour. That would be fairly far out there. But 10 minutes and essentially reminding them, look, this is okay. I am here with you. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just going to gently encourage you through this. I'm going to show you that things can be okay and you will come out the other side of this okay, because ultimately, realistically, we probably only have to wait about 10 minutes. Easier said than done. I recognize that. But ultimately, that's a key part of this.
Now, the one thing that people want to know about this, especially people who suffer with panic attacks, is it possible to beat a panic attack? Is it, what sort of treatment is available? How can people overcome having panic attacks?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing to do is, if you are having panic attacks, the first port of call is typically go to your GP just to rule out there isn't anything medical going on. We have it's one of those things that it can feel quite medical. Sometimes people will have this feeling that they're going to die or that they're going to lose touch with reality. And because of all the kind of the physical bits that go with it, we always want to just rule out there isn't actually an underlying heart condition or something like that. A GP can do that fairly quickly. After that, it is very, very much possible to overcome these things. So in our network of clinics in Spectrum Mental Health, we work with people who experience panic attacks all the time. People who may have just had one or two, didn't know what they were. People who have suffered from them for years. And essentially, what we do is when people come into us, we walk through. Okay, so help me understand when these happen. What do they look like?
Well, what is the trigger as well? If there is a trigger,
exactly. And if there's a trigger, we can work on that. If there isn't a trigger, when we call them untriggered, there's still a trigger. It's just that trigger is internal. You can't identify it in your environment. And so part of that is kind of understanding what that process is. And then essentially working together to put together a plan of, here are the steps that you take when these things start to occur, so that you can essentially kind of head it off at the pass and prevent it from spiraling. That's typically what we do, and we have pretty good outcome rates around this stuff as well. It's very treatable. It's kind of one of the great tragedies of this, where people don't know what it is and they just kind of think that they're damned with it, but they're really not. We have really good treatments for this stuff.
Okay, so what you're saying is there is help there for people, but you need to go forward. In fact, we'll give it a helpline number at the end of this discussion. Dr. Greg Herbert, Clinical Director for Spectrum Mental Health, thanks very much for talking to us on 98FM and clearing up some of those myths.
Thank you very much, Chairman.
Cheers. I'd like to hear from you. 6797981 is our telephone number. You can text or WhatsApp your comments to 0877 98 98 98. Panic attacks and anxiety attacks can be debilitating, says Ed, this texter who can't come on the air. I only had one last night and thought I was going to have a heart attack. It was that bad. I tried breathing techniques to try get through an attack. Sorry, I can't come on air to talk as I work in the healthcare sector. And people I work with don't know that I suffer with them. That's interesting as well, that people would keep that from colleagues and friends. We're going to be talking to a couple of people straight after the break who do suffer panic attacks quite regularly. I'd like to hear from you. 6797981 or text or WhatsApp us on 0877 98 98 98. Do you suffer with panic attacks? Do you have to live with having these panic attacks? How do you cope with them? And have you got help for them? Now's the time to talk about it. The lines are open to you now. Let me go to Katrina in Tala. How are you, Katrina?
Hey there, I'm Jeremy.
Thanks for coming on the show. I noticed on Facebook, when I put this up on Facebook, somebody saying, oh, you're not going to get people that suffer with panic attacks talking on the radio. It's not fair to ask them to come on the radio. There seems to be a lot there seems to be a lot of ignorance about it. Because, I mean, just because you suffer with panic attacks doesn't mean you can't speak to people on the phone and stuff like that. Isn't that right?
Exactly, Jeremy, because like the majority of people I meet nowadays have had a panic attack, or somebody in their family has. It does affect a lot of people, and because it's not spoken openly about, it's kind of covered up or go to the GP. That's why there's a bit of a stigma around it, and it is a mental health issue that is being looked at more now, and I think it needs to be spoken about more so that more people can understand. For example, if you're in the shopping centre, anywhere you could be walking down the street, panic attack doesn't have a time limit. It doesn't say, well, look, we wait till you're home, or we wait. It doesn't have a certain type of person that it chooses. So it needs to be more widely talked about so that everyone else can be understanding and supportive to others.
Okay, first of all, tell me, Where did you have, name a place in public where you had a panic attack where it probably wasn't, well, nowhere is an ideal place to have it, but where were you? Give me the circumstances when you had
it. I had 10 panic attacks in the space of 3 weeks in January, January just gone, and one of them was in the square. And I just like to say, in the square shopping centre, I just like to say, Jeremy, a panic attack doesn't choose any, it hasn't got a type of person, because I am an energy healer and a psychic medium, and I meditate 3 hours a day and I nurture myself. And I would say to I was shocked that I had a panic attack. How can a person like me? It really brought me back down to level ground as to I'm just human like anybody else, because I was such a self-nurtured person. And I couldn't understand, but I was in the square shopping centre and the heart starts beating faster. The first sign for me was my legs started going like jelly, shaking. Then it was like it was climbing up my body, and then the heart. Now, I have a son with a heart condition, so it was like I was him and the heart was going so fast. Then the head, my face starts twitching, you know, the jawline and the top of my head. It was like there was something twitching in there.
Literally you lost control of your body, did you?
Yeah, I felt like I was no longer in that square. And the first immediate thought came to me is run. I had kids with me. Thankfully, I had my daughter with me. I just run. I didn't know where I was running, but I was in that much of a state of panic that I just wanted to run. And it can be a dangerous moment if you don't have a bit of support or someone to say, look, can I have a bit of help here? You know, even though you probably don't think about asking for help, but it is. I just ran, and every panic attack I had, up till I started to take back control, the immediate response to that heartbeat and that anxiety was run. That's the, you know, just get out of there, run. Don't know where you're going, but just run. And embarrassment as well.
And run to where?
I didn't know at the time. Now, I know down, for example, I'll tell you about one that happened in my house here. I was meditating upstairs, as I do. I was meditating in my room, and within a split second of going into that relaxation state, the heart started beating, the legs were jelly again. One sign that I always get with panic attacks is my face was twitching, you know, your jawbone. And a lot of people with anxiety do get that, thinking they have a nervous problem, but it's just your nervous system is kind of shutting down, it's distorted. So I was upstairs, I ran downstairs, I ran back upstairs, I took control, it eased down. Jeremy, that guy said a panic attack can't last more than an hour. Over the space of 3 hours, the fast heartbeat came, I took water, deep breaths, watched videos, did mindfulness, went, it came back. It was 3 hours there that I actually thought it was a heart attack. and I rang the hospital. The ambulance came, and I went in an ambulance. That's the most severe one I had.
That's pretty severe. I want you to stay there for a second, Katrina, because I know part of the reason you wanted to come on is because you say you've taken back control of panic attacks. Stay there for a second because I want to go to Elaine in Finglas. Elaine, you're very welcome along to 98FM. How are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks.
Now, I read your message and, well, it left me speechless because your panic attacks are so bad that you've been off work for 2 weeks in a row due to them.
Yeah, this is my second week off work at the minute.
So you've had to take sick leave because of the panic attacks?
Yeah. And because of the nature of my job, I can't, like, I'm a special needs assistant, so there's no way of me trying to deal with it in work or anything.
Okay, first of all, what age are you, Elaine?
I'm 31.
31. And when did you start having panic attacks?
About 2.5 years ago, I started after my engagement broke down. Separated, we were together for 10 years and everything just started then.
So that was the trigger for it, because obviously when an engagement breaks up, your world falls apart, you know, and that was your way of dealing with it. So you've 2 years of panic attacks, and in the last 2 weeks they've become more frequent, have they?
Like uncontrollably, like what the previous girl was saying, like in one day, 5 or 6 panic attacks, maybe.
Five or six in one day?
Yeah, and then I have bad anxiety as well. And then with my anxiety, I vomit. So that's what, like, the nervous system, that's how my nervous system reacts to the anxiety. I vomit and so, I don't sleep either.
So you obviously can't be in a work environment, especially as an SNA. If that's going on with you, it's going to make your job pretty impossible. So I assume your doctor gave you a doctor's note to take a couple of weeks
off. Oh, yeah. My doctor is well aware of everything that goes on. And I know my trigger for panic attacks is due to depression.
Okay, so that's triggering the
panic. Yeah, so I know exactly why I get them.
Let me ask you, today so far, Elaine, have you had a panic attack?
I have today. I've had one this morning.
And how was that? How did that manifest itself? What happened?
Well, I have a 4-year-old, so I was getting up, getting ready for school. And then we were going to go out to the car, and that tightness, I kind of get like clammy, and that tightness in my chest and heavy breathing. And then, like, obviously the little fella is excited, he wants to go to school, and I'm just, like, trying to deal with him, trying to calm myself down. So, it sounds awful to say this, but I do have to go and lock myself in the bathroom for, like, 20 minutes. And sometimes I cry it out.
Is that because you don't want him to see you having the panic attack?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm afraid that he'll get nervous or he'll get upset or he'll think there's something wrong. Like, he's 4, he's, like, more aware of things that are going on around now, so I try and hide it from him more so. Anybody else, I couldn't care who sees me, couldn't care who knows, but I try and hide it from him.
So you were in the bathroom for 20 minutes this morning. He was outside, was he, at the time?
Yeah, what I do, I put him into his room, gave him something to let him play, let him whatever, and like I'd kind of talk to him through the bathroom door, and I just tell him that Mammy has a sore tummy.
And when you were in the bathroom for 20 minutes, you were obviously trying to deal with it. Your chest felt compressed, and I know this from talking to friends. That's what they say. It's like somebody dancing on their chest. You were crying. You couldn't breathe. And then
I have these, like, my GP told me about these breathing exercises. So I try and do them, but then when you're crying, it's hard to do the breathing exercises as well. Like, so sometimes it can be really difficult, and sometimes I just have to suck it up and just let it take its course.
But that panic attack, you were lucky in a way that it happened when you were at home. You know, that could have happened outside your child's school. It could have happened.
Oh, it happened. I've had panic attacks in like weirdest places where they've been really, really, really bad.
In public places.
In public places, yeah.
Now, give me one example of where it happened in public.
I have 2 really bad ones. Once I was in my local SuperValue, I was with my sister, and I don't know what brought it on, it just came on, and I know afterwards I realized if I had walked straight, I would have been outside the store. And I think it was about 15 minutes later, my sister found me wandering around the store. She was like, what are you doing? What's wrong with you? I was like, I need to get out. And she was like, just walk straight. I was like, where? What are you talking? Like, I just...
You were all over the place.
I couldn't find my way. And she was, all I had to do was walk like straight, like 500 yards straight. And I would have been out the door outside. And like people in the store were just like looking at me thinking there was like something else wrong with me. Like they didn't realize what was going on.
Yeah, because they
I was just walking around like in a daze. Like you could physically see the panic on my face. You could physically see that I was panicking.
Just to get this straight, Elaine, that panic attack that happened in Super Value was brought on by nothing. There was no trigger?
No, nothing. And then another time I was driving from Finglas to Talla. And I was on the M50 and I started the tightness in my chest, the clamminess, my hands started to get tingly, my feet started to get tingly, and I was in the car on my own. So I pulled over and the only thing I could think of to get relief was I started taking my clothes off. This is like sounds stupid. I had like...
Here, listen, nothing sounds stupid here, Elaine. So you know, and you're being quite frank and honest about it, and I think it's good that you're opening up about it on the show. So don't worry about whatever you say. Whatever you say, just speak your mind.
I had a short on me, and I felt like the only relief I could get was taking the shorts off me. I had to take my shoes off. Then there was people stopping on the side of the road. It was like, oh my God, is she crazy? Like I was literally stripping on the side of the M50 because I was afraid I was going to crash. Because my feet were tingly. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to lose, like, with complete feeling in my feet. Like what the previous lady said, like losing control of your body, like having no feeling in your body whatsoever.
And you're obviously, you're trying to cope with this. Has your doctor given you medication for it? Have you sought any professional help?
Yeah, I see my GP regularly. I do take medication. I do go to counselling. And These 2 weeks is the worst I've been in about maybe 6 to 8 months.
I can tell even by talking to you that you're going through hell at the moment. I still have Katrina on the other line. Katrina, have you any advice for Elaine?
Well, I would have advice, you know, but as I said there, like I do a bit of healing, so I'd be very intuitive, but so I don't really want to go into her information, but I'd say she needs to face the fear, and I think there's a bit of abandonment fear, and like she said, depression there. Yeah, first of all, you have to face that panic attack without fear. I mean, this is twice I've done it. And I feel so blessed today, Jeremy, that I had those panic attacks because it allowed me to heal the unhealed stuff in my mind. So, for example, the panic attack is on, you go into your deep breath and you ask the panic attack, because the immediate response to a panic attack, like I said to you earlier, is the fear. So you run, or you take your clothes off, or you walk around, or you're confused, or you feel like your chest is thumping. Same thing happens to me. So the immediate response, you need to change your thoughts there, your thinking. You need to ask that panic attack, let it come, let the breathing come, but know in your mind, this is happening to me right now, but this is not going to kill me. I've got through it so many times. And it's like you're asking that panic attack, what do you actually want from me?
Does that make sense to you, Elaine?
Yeah, total sense, yeah.
It's like I said on the message, Jeremy, a panic attack is unhealed, fear, abandonment, self-esteem issues. For example, with me, there was a few things I changed there, but one thing was facing the fear. What that panic attack was trying to tell me, it was trying to tell me that I had unhealed emotional stuff. I went and healed that with a qualified, I'll say counsellor, but counselling, you're talking, you need to go deeply into the trauma or the abandonment or the hurt, because I feel with that girl, it's unhealed hurt there with her. And
oh, completely. That you haven't dealt with the trauma of the relationship breaking down.
I totally think it is. I think it's like that sense of security is gone. My security blanket basically is gone, and I'm on my own now to deal with everything, and that frightens the life out of me.
Elaine, you're breaking my heart, and I'm sure the listeners as well. Stay there for a second, please. Let me go to Martha. How are you, Martha?
Hi, how are you?
How are things? Very, very difficult hearing, listening to Elaine and Katrina's story, especially Elaine, who literally just had a panic attack this morning.
Yes.
And I mean, she's really fighting it at the moment. Tell me about the therapy you're going through at the moment first.
So I reached out to therapy straight after I had my first panic attack. So I have a baby girl, she's one, and I suffered my panic attack when she was 4 months. So I was after actually coming back from Poland, because that's where I'm from originally. So I came back and literally a few days later, I was at home with her. And we were just after getting an injection at the doctor's, and I was watching a movie. The movie was quite heavy, though. So I initially kind of blamed it on that I was maybe the movie that I was watching was just a little bit too heavy. There was too much violence in it and stuff like that. You know, I don't normally watch things like that. So what happened is I just started to get really warm. I started to get really warm and I didn't know why. So I started to get really worried. So it kind of, the fear started to escalate. What's happening to me? You know, am I going to be okay? Am I going to pass out? And what kind of contributed to that as well was that I had her, I had my baby girl beside me sleeping, and I was responsible for her, and it was only me and her at home. So I started to think, if something happens to me now, nobody's going to know.
Much like the situation that Elaine was in this morning while she was in the toilet, her 4-year-old was outside the toilet.
Yeah, exactly. So like for me, the responsibility bit came to that as well. And that made me even more worried. That made it all escalate. And on top of that, I didn't know what was happening to me and why, physically, what was going on. So after that, I literally, like, I think the next day I went to the doctor and I explained what happened to me.
Okay.
So the doctor was very understanding, and they kind of said that if it was only like a one panic attack at the moment, he didn't recommend any medication. So he said, you know, it could be just once off. You need to see how you're going to get on. So he just gave me, I just kind of insisted on something. I insisted on something that can calm me down in case I'm going to get another attack like
sure.
this, because, it was just it was an absolutely horrible experience. So it kind of changes your life.
I'm sorry, what was the answer the doctor gave you?
So the doctor said that it would be good to do a little bit of kind of maybe in the likes of meditation.
Okay.
So just to try to do that before reach, you know, out to any type of medication, to do a little bit of that, to calm myself down, to be able to release the stress. So I didn't know at that time. I didn't know much at that time. I didn't know anything, you know, around about this. But actually, the few days later, my sister said to me that actually our cousin was suffering with a similar thing. So I connected with her, and she was the first person that knew exactly what I was talking about, because she's been through the same thing.
Okay, stay there for a second, Martha. I'm sorry for cutting across you, but I need to go to an ad break. And Laura, stay there, or sorry, Elaine, stay there for a second as well, because I'm going to be talking to Laura straight after the break, who says she might have a solution for you. It's 98FM's Dublin Talks. We're talking to people who suffer with panic attacks, and in particular, a lot of people are affected by Elaine's story. Elaine is a young mother from Finglas who started having panic attacks after her relationship broke down. She has a young child, and she's out of work on 2 weeks sick leave at the moment because she's having them so regularly.
The best way to describe a panic attack is that you feel like you're spinning into another dimension and that your brain can't focus on what's actually in front of you. You start seeing things that aren't there, you're hearing things that aren't there, and it's this feeling that, like, it's never going to end, it's never going to stop. The first time I got a panic attack, I was 6 years old and I was on a plane. And it's so hard when you're so small because you don't know what's happening to you. You feel like you're dying. And it's so hard on your parents as well, because they can't see what it is that you're seeing and they don't know how to help you. And I feel like it's nearly more difficult for people who've grown up with it, because as an adult you're able to rationalize the situation a bit more, and it's skills that you have to learn as a child along with school in order to just survive every day.
I didn't realise, now, because I'm quite ignorant as regards panic attacks, I didn't realise they can start at such a young age. Let me go to, by the way, I want to hear from you if you do suffer them, and if you have family members, if you've overcome having panic attacks, I want to hear from you. 6797981 is our telephone number. 6797981. You can text or WhatsApp your comments to 087 798 98 98. 087 798 98 98. Somebody wants to know, why is it all women? I don't know why it's all women. I don't know if you're being smart about that or if it's a genuine question. We open the phone lines to people. We don't discriminate against men or women. It just so happens that it's women that are ringing in to talk about it. Maybe men, obviously men do suffer with panic attacks. If you're a man that does, the lines are open to you. You're very welcome to come on the air. Let me go to Laura. How are you, Laura?
Hey, Jeremy. Just listen to Elaine there. God love her.
Oh, you're hard to go out to her, wouldn't it?
Yeah, definitely. But listen, what I want her to try is that, now, it's only the last 2 weeks that I haven't had a panic attack and the anxiety hasn't been really bad. My husband and my boys have even noticed a difference. But I started taking a spoonful of honey every night before I went to bed. So after about 3 nights, I was saying to my husband, that's weird, I'm not really feeling the anxiety and panicking. And so I Googled it, and I never knew honey actually helps the nervous system. So I started taking, and I swear to God, last week was the first week where I actually couldn't believe that I hadn't got that fear thing in me.
And now, obviously, that's not the solution for everybody. Everybody would have different...
No, but it's no harm in trying.
It's no harm in trying.
I don't know,
have you tried that, Elaine, honey, before going to bed at night?
No, I've never actually heard that about the honey.
Elaine, just try it, and during the day, or even before bed, a banana, because when any time I've been taken to hospital when it's been really bad, my potassium is always very low. Now, I bought potassium tablets, but you're not supposed to take them like that because they can do something to your kidneys. So in the banana, if you eat a banana a day as well, it helps with your heart rate. So I eat a banana before I go to bed, and I eat or take a spoonful of the honey. And it's just to try it, Elaine, because it's just like a sigh of relief for me that I literally can be in my own home without panicking. Like, I was like a big child. If my husband was going for a game of golf, me sister or my friend or my boys and my daughter-in-law had to mind me. Do you know what I mean? And I'm literally...
Oh, I know exactly.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Or else you're on the phone every 2 minutes is ringing everybody and anybody just to feel that little bit of security.
Yeah, or even if the phone rings. Yeah, even if the phone rings, then you're jumping because it's like a circuit off or a bang or whatever. But seriously, love, just try the honey, because I'm just eat every night. Now, you don't have to go for that Manuka one, the real deer one. Just get a one out of Dunn's. I was a Healy family or something is the one I chose. But just take a spoonful every night just to see, because I know it's the difference after 3 days of doing it. Like, even take one now. If you have one at home,
and take one now. From what I can gather from you, Elaine, you will try anything at this stage to
I would, because like I am taking medication, and lastly I was put on medication to help with the anxiety and the vomiting, and that just knocks me out. So like, and I'm nervous taking that then because I have the little fella here all the time. I'm like, what if I take it and I just go out cold and something happens and like I can't wake up, like that's, and then that makes me panic even more. Like, so I'm like, no.
Okay, that's adding to it. Yeah. And do you have family members who can help you out?
Oh, my family are absolutely amazing.
Well, that's good.
Absolutely amazing. Like, I live 5-10 minutes from my mum, and my sister is very close to me. Like, lives very close as well, and literally sometimes I only have to ring them, and they're like, "I'm in the car already. I'm on the way."
Okay, so they're aware. They
don't even answer. Like, they know.
Okay, that's something. Stay there for a second, Elaine. Let me go to one last call in Dundrum. Julie, how are you?
Not so bad, how are you?
Grand. You've been having panic attacks for years. Or for the last 4 years, anyway.
Yeah, 4 to 5 years.
Still happening, is it? You still getting them?
Yes. Yeah, not so often anymore.
Certainly not 5 a day, as Elaine is getting them.
No.
And how did you... Well, how did they... at the start, were they... happening more often, like?
Yeah, so it kind of started when I was doing my leaving cert, but then, I mean, you've mentioned it before, there's also the kind of loss, experiencing loss, end of relationships, that kind of thing has also impacted us. So I think the first one that I remember was my leaving cert results night. I was out with my friends and I panicked. My chest got very tight. I was crying. I was upset. I hadn't been drinking. And I had an asthma attack. So my panic attack set off my asthma, which is obviously not great when you're in a public place.
No, not at all.
So I didn't have my inhalers at the time. I ended up having to call my dad and get him to drive into the city to pick me up with my inhalers because I couldn't breathe.
That must have been terrifying for you, was it?
It was pretty horrible.
And how are you now?
Feeling a bit tight in the chest at the moment, actually.
Oh, are you? Okay.
But it's not as bad as it used to be, but it's more that the breathing techniques that you've all been talking about. I'm delighted that they work for so many people on some occasions, but it's just a bit more of a challenge for me, given that I do have asthma as well.
Well, fair play to you for opening up on the show about it, Julie. And that seems to be, going back to Elaine, I'm going to give the last say to you, Elaine, that seems to be what a lot of people are saying, the breathing techniques. There's a lot of support coming in for you, Elaine. A lot of people can relate to what you're going through. We're going to keep in contact with you. You're off this full week as well, are you?
I am, yeah.
Okay, well, yeah. Maybe we'll touch base with you on Friday and see how your week went. Is that okay? Would that be okay with you?
Yeah.
Great.
Yes, I'll be fine. Yeah.
Thanks very much. And thanks for talking to us
on the
show, Elaine. I know it wasn't easy. That's Elaine, mother of a young child, suffers with up to 5 panic attacks a day. Let's finish off by playing this WhatsApp voice note.
The best way to describe a panic attack is that
we played that already. It was this message. Hi, I get panic attacks when I have a few drinks, around 4 or more. So I wake up around half an hour later in terrible panic as if I'm dying, says this person. That's absolutely crazy. Maybe you should give up the drink. That would be my advice to you. If you are trying to deal with panic attacks, suffering with panic attacks, I have a helpline number for you for Mental Health Ireland. And the number is, it's a landline number. It's 284-1186. 284-1186. 86, and that is Mental Health Ireland, and they are professional people. I'm not professional. I just wanted for people to open up to let people who suffer with panic attacks to know that there are other people out there and that there is help out there for you. And I mean, there's so many messages coming through that we could talk about this all day, and lots of different people contacting us with different ways that they try to deal with their panic attacks. But listen, we're going to stay in contact with Elaine and see how she gets on this week. But there's a lot of support for you, Elaine, coming in from the listeners. I hope you enjoyed Dublin Talks today. We're back again for Tuesday morning show tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. If there's something you want brought up on the show, you can contact us. The best way, Facebook. Facebook.com/AdrianKayAndJeremyD. Facebook.com/AdrianKayAndJeremyD. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 10.
98 FM's Dublin Talks with the Des Kelly Interiors gift voucher for beds, flooring and more. 98 FM.